Amen. Nobody knows what is in your heart. There's no way anyone can know. I can look at people, and generally speaking, I get a good idea pretty quick where people are at. But ultimately, nobody knows what's in the heart, except for you. I am not your judge. You are not my judge. If we were, we would fail miserably. But God is your judge. He's my judge. And he's the only one that we can't fool. He's the only one that we can not stand before and say, hey, this is true, and he won't catch it. And I have a great fear that many who think they're on their way to heaven are not. Many who would profess to know Jesus, and maybe even some do it and they know it's not real, but they just want to kind of be in the in crowd or just get people off their back so they'll say, yeah, I'm a Christian. But others will do it thinking they really are. And that they really know God. When they do not. In fact, I have said the scariest verses in all the Bible are found in Matthew chapter 7. And here's what they say. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Some are going to get to heaven. They're going to say, God, we preached in your name. We drove out demons in your name. We did all kinds of miracles in your name. And God's going to turn to them and say, you know what? I never knew you. Yesterday, some people came up to me after memorial service and introduced themselves, and one of them was a gentleman by the name of Ken Hewitt, and he came over to me and said, hi, I'm Ken Hewitt, and I said, I know you. You know, there's going to be some people when they get to heaven, God's going to look at them and say, I don't know you. You're going to stand at the judgment seat of God and say, hey, Lord, and he's going to say, who are you? I don't know you. Boy, that's scary. That you would make it all the way to the gate of heaven, you'd make it to the judgment of God, and you would stand there and you think, man, here we go. God says, wait a minute. Not you. You are not going. You're not one of them. You can't come in. They're the words of Jesus. So Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, where I've asked you to turn, I think maybe he might have had these words in mind when he said what Kibbe read a minute ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. He said, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? He says, here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to look at your own life. He didn't say test somebody else. He said, I want you to look at your own life, and I want you to test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Now, I can think of no greater question than the issue of, are you a Christian? Are you in the faith? Are you going to heaven? You know, suffering is a pretty ugly thing. And if you've ever had to suffer, or if you've ever dealt with pain, it hurts. Some deal with it better than others, but no matter what, it hurts. And you know, sometimes we want to crawl out of these bodies, and sometimes we say, you know, hey, I'm ready for heaven, why stay? But what if heaven's not the next destination? I talked to someone. I said, you know what? I really don't want to live anymore. I really want to end my life. And I said, well, if you end your life, where are you going? And they said, heaven, of course. I said, how do you know? Well, I hope so. And I said, well, if you think suffering in this life or the difficulties you've had in life are bad, can you even begin to imagine what it would be like if you had to deal with all the difficulties you had in this life, but then when this life was over, then you had all eternity to have to suffer the judgment of God? You might say, well, wait a minute, God's too loving. He would never send anyone to hell. I want you to know God is loving, but he is also holy. And because he is holy, his righteousness had to be satisfied. And when Adam and Eve sinned, and that was passed to us, and when we sin and we disobey God, that has a punishment due to it. And it has to be paid. And if it is not paid, if it is not dealt with, then God will judge it. But because God is loving, he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sin. And if you will place your faith, your trust, your life in his hands because of what he did on the cross, I want you to know you will never have to face the judgment of God. That is the love of God. But we need to be sure. We need to know. We need to know if we died this very moment that our next breath would be in heaven. Because if you don't know, I'm telling you, you are taking the chance of all eternity on a, I hope so. And that is not the chance you ought to take. So how can we be sure we are a Christian? What is the test? You know, is it the length of your hair? Is it whether ladies wear a dress or not? You know, well, what is the length? What is the thing? How do we know that we're Christian? And who's going to make the test? Not me. I don't want to make the test. And it ought not to be you either. Talked to someone the other day and they said, I said, are you a Christian? They said, well, not like you may think. And I said, well, it's not how I think, it's what God says. He's the one who determines whether you are a Christian or not. And they said, well, I'm happy with my religion and where I'm at. Well, that's fine, but is God happy? You know, is God happy with where you're at? It's not an issue of whether you're happy. You can be happy all of your life, however long it is. But are you going to be happy for all eternity? So what is the test? Well, I think if we're going to determine a test of whether someone is a Christian or not, it ought to be determined by God. Paul said here that there is such a thing. He says, test yourselves. Well, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, he says this, I write these things, you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you may know that you have eternal life. I was walking into jail one time, visiting, and while I was in there, one of the inmates said to me, he said, you know what, you can't know that you're going to heaven. You can't know that you're a Christian. I said, wait a minute. Yes, you can. The Bible says you can know. And it ought not to be based on feelings. It ought not to be based on, you know, what my mother said or what my brother said or what my sister said. It ought to be based on the Word of God. And you know what? The Bible is the Word of God. I've studied this book for now some 40 years. And the more I study it, the more I am amazed and realize it is the Word of God. So what I'd like to do, and I'm going to, not just this morning, we are going to look at it for the next 3 weeks. We are going to take this test. And if you could be with us this morning, the next 2 weeks, then you could go all the way through and you could take the test with us. For some reason you can't, all you got to do is go on the internet and go to our website and you can listen to it. That does not mean you could stay home for the next 2 weeks and just go to the internet and listen. It just means if you are out of town, then you can do that. Turn with me to 1 John. Because our test is found in the book of 1 John. And in the book of 1 John, I believe there are 15 questions that we can ask to find out whether I am a Christian or not. I am only going to give 11 during the next 3 weeks. But I am going to summarize all 15. At the end of them, I am going to have a sheet in the back that lists all 15 questions. But I'll give an 11, I'm going to give 11, and I'm going to kind of squeeze in the other ones to some of the questions I ask. Again, these are all based in God's Word. And here's the first question. Here's what you need to ask yourself. Am I walking in the light? Am I walking in the light? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him, from Jesus, and declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, now watch, if we claim to have fellowship with God, let me rephrase it, if we claim to have a relationship with God, if we claim to be a Christian, yet walk in darkness, and we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the fellowship of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Let me say it this way. If you claim to be a Christian, and you do not walk in the light, which I'll explain in a minute. If you claim to be a Christian and you do not walk in the light, you are a liar. That is what he just said. If we claim to walk in the light, yet we don't, we walk in darkness, then we lie. Now, you can get mad at me, but I'm just reading what it said. If you claim to be a Christian, but you don't walk in the light, you walk in darkness, you're a liar. So what's it mean? Well, the word light in the Bible, when it's used intellectually, means a knowledge of the truth, a knowledge of God's Word. When it is used in a moral sense, it means to walk in obedience. To have a lifestyle of righteousness. to be obedient to God. If you are a Christian, your lifestyle will show it. You will live a life of obedience to God. Now, the word darkness in the Bible refers to sin or sinfulness. So if your lifestyle is one of sinfulness, one of a life that is void of God, a life that could care less what the Bible says, a life that says, I don't care what God says, a life that says, yeah, I'm just going to do what I want to do and I want nothing to do with church or God or any of that stuff, then I want you to know you are not a Christian. And it does not matter if you can point back to a day when you raised your hand, or as I asked yesterday, or you stood up, or you knelt down, or you walked an aisle, or you signed a card, or you prayed a prayer. Because none of that is real if it is not followed up with a life that is obedient to God. In fact, 1 John says this a number of different ways. Turn over to chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 3. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. You know, you look at the average church today. I'm serious. You look at the average church today and the average attitudes and heart and lifestyle and actions, and you would walk in the door and then walk out the door and you would say, where are the Christians? Amen. Bible says broad is the road that leads to destruction, narrow the road that leads to hell. And if you take all the people who profess to be a Christian, and you take all the people from all the evangelistic crusades that have said, yes, I believe Jesus, and then compare that with all the people who are living for Jesus, there would be a vast difference in the numbers. So if your lifestyle is a lifestyle of obedience to God, then you can say, yes, that one's true of me. If your lifestyle is not one of obedience to God, then you would have to say, uh-oh, I really better check my heart. In fact, you know, I talked to a guy a while back, a couple years ago now, I guess. And he came to me for counseling, and he said, you know, Pastor, I really need to talk to you. Let's sit down and talk. I said, all right. And we began looking at his life, and he began telling me his life, and I was like, you know, no more. I don't want to hear anymore. And then he ended it all with saying, but you know what, I am a Christian. It's all right. Can we take a test? Can we just sit down, let's look at this? He said, sure. So I took him through the questions. I'll give you that in 3 weeks. And we began going through the questions, all 15. Number one, yes or no? No. Number two, yes or no? No. Number three, yes or no? No. Number four, yes or no? No. We went through all 15 questions. His answer to every one was no. I said, let me ask you, do you think you're a Christian? He said, well, I guess I'm not. But you know what? He didn't even care. Didn't even care. Number two. Ask yourself this question. Do I confess my sin? Do I confess my sin? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. And his word has no place in our lives. If we say that we're not a sinner, we say we're not really that bad a guy, then what the Bible says is you are making God a liar. Because God says we're all born sinners. And we sin. You know, sinning doesn't make us a sinner. We sin because we're already a sinner. Two guys came to pray. One guy stood there and said, "You know what, God? I give you my tithe. I do this for you. I do that for you. I'm so glad I'm not like him." This other guy stood away and said, couldn't even look up to heaven. And he just prayed, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." It was a parable that Jesus gave. And Jesus said, "You know what? Talking to these guys who thought they were so religious and righteous, he said, that guy went away justified, not this guy." You realize you're a sinner? I mean, you know, you think it's, everybody would know that. And some people, you know, they'll even say, "Yeah, I know I'm a sinner." But in their heart, they really don't believe it. In their heart, they think, "I'm good enough to go to heaven. Yeah, I make it." I want you to know the religious person is no more religious than the non-religious person and no closer to heaven than the one who isn't. And the one who thinks that they go out and kind of get in the woods and just kind of do this and they're spiritual, they're no closer to God than the religious person either. The Bible says that our sin has separated us from God so that he does not hear us. A Christian recognizes their sin and repents of it and turns from it and says, "You know what, I'm not perfect, but I'm going to do all I can to live for God." And you know, I think that's where the mistake is with some people who come into church. They come to church and look around and they say, I know that person, they're not perfect. Oh, you know what, those bunch of hypocrites. That's just not true. A church is a hospital for sinners. And when people come, you know what? Nobody's perfect. And we all fall short. That doesn't mean that we're hypocrites. It just means that we're trying to do the best we can, and sometimes we fall short. The problem is you do find hypocrites in church, and there are some, you know, all over the place, and they're saying they're religious when they really don't care about God at all, and they're not even trying. That is the hypocrite. The one who play acts, not the one who tries but fails. Do you understand you're a sinner? Have you turned from it? Have you repented of it? Turned to God, sought his forgiveness, sought his purity. Number three. 1 John chapter 2. And I'm going to fly. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. "Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brothers is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brothers lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brothers is in darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going, because the darkness has him blinded." Here's the question: do I love Christians? Do I love Christians? Dave, would you stand up for a second? I know you don't want to. Just stand up for a second. Right there, just stand up. He's my brother. There's three of us. He's the second oldest. We have an older brother, and I'm the baby. This passage is not talking about him. I can hate him. He tells me all the time I'm adopted anyway. Thanks. It's not necessarily talking about your physical brother. It's talking about your spiritual brother and sister in Christ. Do you love Christians? I'm not talking about the phonies, the fakes. I'm talking about the real. People who are trying to live the Christian life, the people whose moral values and goals and desires are those of trying to please God. Now, if you would rather be around non-Christians than Christians, that tells a lot about your heart. Yeah, I want to be around non-Christians because I want to win them to Christ. I want to do all I can. You know, Jesus was always accused of, what are you doing sitting with the prostitutes? Religious people, they said, what are you doing sitting with those sinners? Because he was trying to change their heart. That's what we ought to be trying to do. We ought to be sharing the gospel, the good news that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for your sin. But my heart is to be around those who are just like me. They love God. They love his word. Trying to do the best they can to live the Christian life. Have the same moral values. Have the same goals and desires. Do you love Christians? You know, there is a bond with Christians that is there without even knowing it. I mean, you can get in an airport, you can get in another city, you can be somewhere, you can walk in a church, and it's immediate. I mean, you just know, hey, and you turn to the person and you say, are you a Christian? Are you one too? Because God has put within our heart a common bond. Through the Holy Spirit has come to live within us. And it says, we know one another. Do you love Christians? 4. Chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But what is the world? Well, notice verse 16. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, does not come from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Here's the question. Ask yourself, do I love the world? Or if I may state it differently, do I love God? What is the world? Well, he gave us three things. He said the cravings of sinful man. He said the lust of the eyes and the boasting of what he has and does. The cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, the boasting of what he has and does. What is the cravings of sinful man? It's hedonism. It's hedonism. It's the passion to feel good. It's the passion to feel good about myself. It's a passion to want to, you know, I just have a blast in the world. Everybody wants to feel good. But see, the Christian is willing to not feel good if that is God's will, where the non-Christian says, look, no, I want to feel good no matter what. I mean, this is what I want. This is the world. This is what I want. In fact, you know, he follows up with the lust of the eyes, materialism, greed, lust. I've got to have it. I want everything this world has to offer. I want to, you know, the phrase, he who dies with the most toys wins. That's the lust of the eyes. See, the Christian says, came in the world with nothing. If God takes it all the way, blessed be the name of God. It's his to begin with. The boasting of what he has and does, good old pride, which causes people not to want to admit their sin. I have much more I could say. Let me say it this way. One of my very good friends, passed away a little over a week ago, Marilyn June. I have known her for, as I said yesterday, around 40 years. You know what? She wasn't a perfect person. There were areas in her life where she could grow, just like me. But she loved the Lord. She just wanted to serve God. And she cared whether other people knew God or not. And I know this very moment, she's in heaven. And there's another guy who lived behind me. I've told you about this guy. He's a doctor. His name is Wally. And he would get mad at me if I called him doctor. He wanted me to call him Wally. And we began conversations all the time. We'd meet each other in the alley and we would talk. And I would be constantly trying to talk to Wally about his need for Jesus. His need to admit that he's a sinner, believe that Jesus died for him, and call upon Jesus to save him from his sin. And we would talk and talk. And one day he said to me, he said, "You know what? If you want to be my friend, you're going to stop doing that." And I said, "Wally, if I don't keep doing this, I'm not your friend." He died this month. I just found out on the way to the softball game, 2 games ago. And the gentleman who was cleaning out his garage, who was a good friend of his, said, "You know what? Wally had his master's in theology. But yet he would not talk about God with me. Except when he brought it up, and as soon as I would respond, he'd stop." I know this very moment, Marilyn is in heaven with God. I know this very moment that Wally, my neighbor, is in hell for all eternity because he rejected Jesus Christ. There is no more important decision you will ever make than whether you want to be a Christian or not. Whether you will come to a place in your life and say, "Look, hey, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And God loved me so much, he provided the means by which I could have that Savior. Jesus came. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose from the dead. It is a fact as true as any other fact of history. And he did it for your sin and mine." Now, that means nothing to you. You can say all the time, "I know that Jesus is a Savior," but I want you to know it means nothing to you. Until you reach a point in your own life where you say, "I want him to be my Savior. Dear God, save me from my sin that I may have a relationship with you. I turn from it. I want to walk with you." Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I want you for a moment, in your own heart, say to yourself, "Nobody's here but me. Just you and God. You know your heart better than anybody. Are you a Christian? Answer it to yourself. Just on these first four questions, are you a Christian? If you have any doubt, or you know you're not, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't walk out the doors without making sure. Because if you reject Jesus Christ, for all eternity, you will face the judgment of God. God does not want to send anyone to hell. That's why he sent Jesus. And I don't want you to go to hell. That's why I'm willing to stand up here this morning and talk to you. If you are not a Christian, right now, right here, tell God you want to turn from your sin and turn to him. And ask him to become your Savior. Tell him this day will be the first day that you begin to live for him. Openly, clearly, unashamedly. Father God, change hearts and lives. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here that has failed the test, the first part of the test, that they've given their heart to you. I pray, Lord, that this is not an issue that anyone would play with, and help people to realize and understand the seriousness of rejecting Jesus. Help them to understand that religion just doesn't cut it without Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that today people would be saved. For we pray in Jesus' name.